sermon title for today is Comfort in All Our Troubles. Comfort in All Our Troubles. And the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble." And God's people said, you know, during a powerful worship, and like, you know, today was just a very powerful worship, we feel the presence of God. When there's supernatural provision, you know, if you experience a super, you've been praying for something and there's supernatural provision, we see the goodness of God. And when there's abundance and when there's success, you know, we have faith in God. But I want to challenge the church. I want to challenge the church to encounter the presence, see the goodness, and put your faith in God in all your troubles. In all your troubles. That's very hard. And, you know, when I first became Christian, I didn't like this passage, but, you know, I'm growing in it. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, and you do have to consider it because it's not natural, okay, when you're facing trouble. But the Bible says, "Consider it not human joy, not fake joy, but pure joy." Right? And it's related with God's joy. Right? "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Okay? Now, see, when you feel all alone, when you are weak and afraid, when the future seems uncertain, instead of considering joy, our natural tendency is, you know, our natural tendency is to be miserable, to be fearful, to be angry, you know, to give up. But God calls us to do the opposite. Okay? God calls us to do the opposite. Opposite of the world, what the world will do when they face trouble. Opposite of most people when they face trouble. Opposite of what is normal. Okay? The Bible says when you're facing a lot of trouble, consider it pure joy. Okay? Consider it pure joy. How do we as a Christian do the opposite of what our flesh wants to do? Okay? There's this promise we need to hold on to very tightly. The first passage, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God comforts us in all. Okay? God comforts us in all our trouble. Can you say that to your neighbor? God comforts us in all our trouble. Okay? And so the first point is this. You know, as I was meditating on that truth, first point, in our trouble, okay, God will do his greatest work. In our trouble, God will do his greatest work. He will move. He comforts us. He's there with us in our trouble. And God, in our trouble, we need to believe this, God will do his greatest work. Okay, and looking at your face, I don't think you want to believe this, but we need to believe this, you know. Yes, we know God is with us when things are working out, okay? When there's a breakthrough, when people are nice to you, when there's victory. But let's believe together as a church. Let's be a biblical church. Let's believe together as a church that God is with me. God is with my marriage. God is with my family. God is with this church. And let's have a greater faith. God is with this nation. Okay? You know, when I'm facing trouble, when I'm alone, when there's sickness, when I'm afraid, let's believe God will do. Okay? Let's believe this together. Let's believe God will do his greatest work in dark times. in dark time. God comforts us in all our trouble, no matter how bad the trouble. It says all our trouble. It could be a little trouble. It could be a huge trouble, big problem, overwhelming problem. It says all our trouble, God moves. Right? God moves. You know, on Palm Sunday, and what is Palm Sunday? It's when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And the city, people came out, and they were singing this song on Palm Sunday. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Huh? And but the greatest work of Jesus was not on Palm Sunday. When the whole city was happy, when the whole city was celebrating, when Jesus entered Jerusalem. The greatest work of God happened when the crowd was not singing Hosanna, when the crowd shouted, crucify him. Crucify him. Okay? The greatest transformation, the greatest miracle, the greatest deliverance, the greatest power of God was released in the death of Jesus Christ. When the disciples were hiding, when there was great demonic attack, demonic activity, when the greatest injustice was done, a sinless Son of God was crucified. It wasn't Palm Sunday when the whole city was joyful, when the whole city was dancing, when the whole city was singing. The greatest work of God, God's greatest redemptive work, salvation of the whole world, happened when darkness covered the sun, when Jesus was falsely accused, when Jesus was spit at and whipped and crucified. When Jesus went to the cross, the greatest work of God was done. God paid the penalty for our sin. We have eternal life. We have a new life. Amen. Number two, know our troubles will be temporary. Right? Know that whatever troubles that you're going through, right, is temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Our temporary and momentary trouble will not last. And I want to speak this over this you, my brother and sister. Our temporary and momentary troubles will not last. Right? Will not last. You know, it will pass. It will pass. And when it passes, though, this is what I want us to, like, have a time machine, go to the future. Okay? My challenge to the church and to myself, you know, because a lot of time what we do is, some of the men might understand, we play the Monday morning quarterback. Okay. What does that mean? Do we still talk about that? Monday morning quarterback? Okay. What is that? Most, you know, football game, NFL football game happens on Sunday. Almost all the football game happens on Sunday. And many of the men who love football, Monday, they will play the Monday morning quarterback, you know, meaning they didn't really play during that Sunday, but after the game is over, okay, they'll sit on the couch or, you know, they're in the office, they will criticize, you know, what they should have done, you know, what they didn't do. If I was there, I would have, you know, not do that play. And they will criticize from the comfort of 2020 hindsight. Right? 2020 hindsight. Now, once the trouble passed, the game's over, we're going to look back. Okay? We're going to look back. My challenge to you, okay? You're facing this trouble, and challenge to myself, it's not easy. When you look back, Okay? Say you went to a time machine, you're facing all this trouble, you're looking back at all the trouble that you faced, then you won't say, I was so foolish to think that. I was so foolish to think that. Right? When you're in trouble, you're all the lies, you just hold on to, you believe. But then when it passed, you go, oh, I was so foolish to think those thoughts. I was so foolish to do that. I was so foolish to feel that. I was so foolish to believe in that. I wish that I didn't act like that. I wish I didn't do that. Huh? Instead of playing Monday morning quarterback, do the right thing in the midst of the trouble. As you're facing the trouble. Okay? Do the right thing now. Huh? James 1, chapter 2, consider pure joy when you face trials of many kind. Okay? And I shared this before. What I believe that means is don't resent the trouble you're facing right now. Don't resent it. Okay? Then you're going to play the Monday morning quarterback. Don't resent it. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says this. Dear friends, do not be surprised. I get surprised. You know, I'm having a great day in trouble. Oh, where did that come from? Okay, why is that happening? Okay. But it says, the Bible says, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Okay, don't be surprised. Okay? Because if you're not, that means you're not ready for it. As you're facing this trouble, not play Monday morning, be ready right now for the trouble you're facing right now. See, the world's broken, you and I are broken, and I'm going to speak truth to you. No one is immune to troubles. Okay? No one is exempt from troubles. And as we are being hit with different trouble, we can be overwhelmed by our difficulty. And the difficulty, if you get overwhelmed by the difficulties that's hitting us right now, the difficulties will crush you. They will crush us. Or what the Bible says to do, okay? I'll think about the different troubles that's hitting you. We can consider it pure joy. Huh? We could have hope. Meaning, okay, what does it mean? Consider it pure joy. We can learn from it. We could overcome it. When you're being hit with trouble, don't go, okay, you're pure joy. It's pure. Okay, if you're not going to overcome it, it's not that pure joy. Consider the trouble that you're facing, what God is saying to you, you will overcome it. I'm looking at your face. I don't feel like you believe me. Huh? I want you to rise up in faith. Consider it pure joy. Okay, if I'm not going to overcome the joy, there's no pure joy. It's hype. It's a fake joy. Consider it pure joy. You're going to learn from it. You're going to overcome it. You're going to graduate from it. Okay? You know, when you graduate, I've never seen, you know, I go to 4 kids, a lot of graduations. Okay? Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Okay? You're going to graduate from it. You're going to grow from it. You're going to transform from it. You're going to be more powerful from the troubles that you're facing. Huh? I want to hear an amen. And that's what James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, it tells us this. Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Why? It tells us, because You know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Not lacking anything. Wow. If you don't resent the trials, if you choose to do the right thing in the midst of the trials, consider it pure joy, there's going to be great fruits in your life. Spiritual fruits going to be produced in your life. Your faith is going to grow. You will develop patience. You will become more spiritually mature. You'll become more spiritual. And, you know, I don't know. You know, you think about it. Oh, how come I don't never, you know, I've been a Christian for 30 years and I haven't grown spiritually? Well, you're miserable. That's why, about every trial that's hitting you. And you're not growing from those trials. You're not learning from those trials. And so you're going to the same trial over and over again, never graduating from it. Spiritual maturity is about graduating through the power of God, your faith in God, graduating from the trial. And there's spiritual maturity. Then there's spiritual maturity. But not just spiritual maturity. You'll be able to do, and it says, you know, you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You'll be able to do God's will and fulfill his purpose. And you know what I realize about doing God's will? It's not just, I want to do God's will. I have to overcome the trials in my life. I remember when I first started my first church plant, I didn't get a salary for 2 years. I didn't get a salary for 2 years because it was all college students. And inside, how am I going to survive? How are we as a family? Because we didn't have kids. When we have a baby, how are we going to survive? Right? And I said, God, this is your will. You will provide. And he provided. So, you know what? My wife and I, when we think about finance in the future, because we graduated from those trials many years ago, we don't have fear of money. We don't have fear of, we don't have any retirement. Not much. Why shot? I'm not sure. We don't have that. Yeah? Like, I'm 50, going to be 59. But I have no fear. Is it because, it's because the financial trials that we went through, and it was, some of them was really difficult in the past. We overcame. You will lack nothing. And some things that we can do, and I want to be a little more practical, in the troubles that we're being hit with. And this is the basic. Strengthen your spiritual life. Now, you're being hit, I don't know, with family crisis, financial crisis, work crisis, friendship crisis, physical sickness crisis. Whatever crisis that you're being hit with, strengthen your spiritual life. And what does that mean? Make time to pray. And make time for personal worship, not just corporate worship, but personal worship. Daily devotion. Make time for meditation on the Word of God. See, during difficult time, what trial is, it's like a pressure to your soul, to your heart. It's like a pressure. And what happens when there's pressure on something? What's inside will be squeezed out. And what God will do, what comes to the surface, and this is what you got to believe, gets squeezed. What comes out to the surface is not good. Okay? When God always puts pressure on me, what comes out, leaks out, is not good. Okay? But this is what you got to believe. Why would the Lord allow those trials and difficulties to happen in your life? Because when it gets squeezed out, things get squeezed out. It's not good. It's dirty. You don't like it, right? What's coming out of you? It's not to condemn you. But God wants to redeem those things that comes out. For example, anger. Sometimes, if it's like uncontrollable demonic anger that comes out, you know what God wants to do? God wants to set you free. That's why it's coming out. To set you free. Maybe it's unhealed anger. Okay? Unhealed anger. Okay? A lot of the unhealed anger is this anger that's coming out from childhood. Okay? It's like if you saw how angry you were as a child and you were coming out at 45, it's unhealed anger. Why would God use trial to squeeze that out and it's coming to the surface? Why? God wants to heal you. Huh? He wants to heal you. That's, to me, that's so obvious. That's why it's coming out. God wants to heal you. If there's unreasonable fear that's coming out, is there trouble, right? I don't mean just normal, unreasonable fear that comes out. That comes out, especially in times of trouble. Okay? What you need to do, don't validate the unreasonable fear. But use the time of trouble to overcome that unreasonable fear. It's a time to overcome. Okay? It's time to overcome it. That's why it's coming out. And this is all marriage, okay? I'm not picking any. This includes my marriage, okay? In trouble, what happens is it always comes out in marriage. If you have financial problem, it will come out in marriage. If you have childhood issue, it will come out in marriage. If you have difficulties with your kids, it will come. What do I mean? It will hurt the marriage. The devil's plan is to hurt the marriage. Will come out in the marriage, right? But church, let's say, married couples, speak this out. Not this time. Yeah. It's gonna be different. Okay? Not this time. Stop, devil. Not this time. Tell the devil, not this time. Okay? In times of trouble. What's God's plan? Is to strengthen your marriage. It's to strengthen your marriage. Right? And as I was preparing, this is something, my wife would tell you, I need to practice. But I was just thinking some practical things in times of trouble, what you could do with your marriage. Build your communication with your spouse. Build your communication. Okay, this is all of us. I'm not, because I also need to do a better job. Right? Build a better communication with your spouse. And this, okay, I had to say it because I got conviction. This needs to be done in marriage, okay? Do we practice it? No, but we need to practice it, okay? Go on regular dates. Yes, go on regular dates. Married couples, I know those who have, three or more kids, it's been years. Okay, but go on regular dates. During this season, and I'm going to release the parents, right, when there's trouble hitting you, okay, for your marriage, don't focus so much on your children. Hello? Sorry, Kristen. Okay. Don't focus too much on your children. Right? Instead, focus on each other. Hello? Right? I could say this because all the children left except my daughter in college. We focus enough on you. Just kidding. No, we're still alive. Focus on each other. Focus on each other. Right? In times of trouble, right, again, trial is like a pressure to your heart. And what you need to do is discern what's coming to the surface, what's being squeezed out. Right? It might be insecurities. Right? It might be bitterness. It might be depression. There might be there's evil thoughts, hidden sins, right? You can hide it very well, but not when the trouble's hit and it's being squeezed. Hidden sins is coming out. Addiction, right, is coming to the surface. You can't hide it anymore. I want to encourage you with this truth. When it's coming to the surface, it's being squeezed out, God is not out to get you. Right? I want you to hear it again. God is not out to get you. God's not trying to crush you or shame you. He's not condemning you. God is with you. This is so important to you know, see, if God's not with us, there's no redemption. There's no redemption. Right? God is with you. Okay? And so the storm that you're facing, okay, when we do the right thing, when we do the godly thing, we do the biblical thing, know that God is with you. When the storm passes, okay, you will be more spiritually powerful. Okay? You will have faith that moves mountains. There will be more joy. There will be more love. There will be more peace. Together, God will complete the work. Together, if we overcome in Christ the trouble that we're facing, together we'll be able to carry the revival God has given to us as a community of believers, as a church. And what I realize about revival is not about one person. Whoever, you know, if they focus on one person, this is the person that's... No. A real revival of God is because it touches the whole church. And together, as a church, we carry the revival. Okay. Number three, in our troubles, discern and hold on to the truth. Can you say that to your neighbor? You know, more than ever in my whole life, you know, it's just crazy time. You know, there's instant news, there's social media, there's internet trolling, there's fake news. In time, you know, again, you know, it's a time where our society believes there's no absolute, there's no more truth. Right? As a Christian, because with all the different lies everywhere, right? We're called not to be a garbage dump. Okay? See, our heart and our mind is not a garbage dump where the devil could come and dump all the lies in your heart, in your mind. As a Christian, our mind and our heart is not a garbage dump. Right? Where our heart and mind is a garbage dump for the lies. As a Christian, we're called to be this filter. Okay? A filter. Right? What does that mean? Okay, there's truth and lies. We need to sift through. We need to weigh, we need to discern. And then we filter it. We receive the truth, and reject the lies. Okay, we receive the truth and reject the lie. You know, we, as a Christian, we're not to be gullible and believe anything that we're told. When trouble comes, we're called to discern, sift, weigh, research, study the Bible. Let's figure out what the Bible says. We need to discern. We need to discern. See, then we're to be that foundation. We're to be on that foundation of the Word of God in the midst of the storm. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 25. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Right? It had its foundation on the rock. You and I could go up and down with social media. You can go up and down with the news. You can go up and down with how you feel. You can go up and down depending on the circumstances. You can go up and down depending on people's opinion. Right? As a Christian, the Bible needs to be your foundation. The Bible needs to be your foundation. You know, the world, there's a global crisis happening almost every week now. Every other week or every week. And at the same time, there's a shaking in our personal life. Every day. Okay? There's a shaking in our personal life. So all the more we need to hold on to what does not change. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I shared this list before, but this, when I'm being hit with trouble, it's going to grow. This list is going to grow. It helps me. I meditate on this when there's trouble, and I'm going to share it with you. As you're facing this trouble, what is some unchanging truth? What's some of the unchanging truth? Number one, God knows everything I am going through. Right? Well, what trouble? Think about the trouble, what you're going through right now, and speak that. Proclaim that. God knows everything I am going through. Okay? He knows everything that what you're going through. Number two, God cares about what I am going through. Okay? Doesn't that mean just, yeah, you see, this is how you get pure joy. You gotta, you know, be on the foundation of unchanging truth. Right? God cares about what I am going through. Okay? Number three, praise God. God has the power to change what I am going through. Okay? God has the power to change what I am going through. Number four, God always acts out of his goodness to me. God always acts out of his goodness to me. Number five, God's plan is always better than my plan. God's plan is always better than my plan. Number six, God will never stop loving me. Number seven, and there's this eternal security that you gotta, you know, hold on to. I cannot lose my salvation once I put my trust in Jesus Christ. The devil in trouble, will shake this eternal security. In order to overcome the troubles in your life, you got to hold on to the eternal security that you have in Jesus Christ. There's this eternal security that you have in Jesus Christ. Right? Number eight, final, you know, remember, no matter what I go through, God will go through it with me. Okay? God will go through it with me. So, every stage, every phase, every crisis, you are never alone. God is with you. Even when you don't feel it, I want to encourage you. God is with you. Let's consider whatever trial that we're facing with pure joy. Amen? I want you to meditate on this passage. So Isaiah 43, verse 2. Isaiah 40. Worship team, if you could come up. It says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulties, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. I want us to have a faith that overcomes. And you feel like you're going to drown. No, that's not the truth. God says, you will not drown. I'm going to be burned up. No, no. It's a lie. You will not be burned up. I'm all alone. No. I will be with you. I will be with you. The world only has positive thinking, you know, when they face trials, when they're going through trouble and difficulty. We have, as a Christian, so much more. We have God. I will be with you. We have Jesus.